Hold your Bibles up high. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that your word is alive and full of power. Thank you, Lord, that this woman of God has stood on the word. She stood on the word for this church and for us, for me and for all those that are part of this ministry and for believers everywhere. And I thank you, Lord, that your word is alive and will come alive in the lives of these people in Jesus' name. Satan, I remind you, you're bound in Jesus' name. You shut your mouth in Jesus' name. You shut up. You have no words to say about anything that God is doing in our lives in Jesus' name. You are headed to the lake of fire. You will be there forever. There is no remedy for you. So I torment you with the future as you try to torment us often with our past. I cancel your assignment to come and steal the word. You come immediately to steal the word that we receive. You can't do that. That assignment is canceled. So you might as well move on. You have no proceedings here that you're part of. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that this word will go into good heart and bring good soil to the hearts of the people and bring forth great fruit and abundance. And we're blessed coming in and going out, that this word is alive and full of power. In Jesus' name, we call it done. And I decree over these people, they will never, ever be the same simply because of the word of God that they received today. In Jesus' name, I declare that done. Let's make a confession in Jesus' name. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the word of God says that I am. I have what the word of God says that I have. I can do what the word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's word on purpose. I listen to the word of God, but I'm not just a hearer. I am also a doer of God's word. And because I am a doer and not just a hearer of the word of God, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. We're looking at now how to receive in 2026. This series has blossomed into several things that we need to be able to make note of. In fact, if you'll write these three things down that I'm going to give to you right now, three things that we can do to be able to receive more of what God has for us. And I'm not just talking about material things, but I'm talking about a relationship with God and a relationship with our families and being able to have the kind of life that God wants to have for us. Jesus wanted us to have life in it more abundantly, so bad that he gave his life and died for us. What an amazing thing. Say amen to that. Number one, write this down. The number one thing that we can do to get ourselves prepared to receive from the Lord and be able to receive what he has for us in this year of acceleration is, number one, please God. If you make it your life's vision to please God for the rest of your life, don't try to please anybody but God. In the process, you'll please those that are God's. Please God. I said, you can either say, please, I'm going to please God, or you can be in a situation where you don't please God and saying, God, please. Same words, just used backwards. You don't want to get into a situation, and you know how we are, even though we don't have a relationship with God, we're in a bad situation. They give you that report from the doctor, or that car almost knocked you onto the side of the road in a T-bone. God, please! Or the relationship is falling to pieces. Or you add the blanks. You fill in the blanks. So we need to, number one, please God is what we're studying. Now, we're going to study these more. We're going to deal with this, especially number one. Please God instead of having to say, God, please. See, we should have a life of joy. You should be enjoying this life. You should be having a wonderful life. Your life should be just filled with just joy. Now, the enemy is going to try to stop that. We know that. But don't concentrate on that. Concentrate on what Jesus concentrated on. He concentrated on giving you life in it more abundantly. So you need to take what he gave you. And see, sometimes we want to just eat the sour parts of life, only eat the lemons, and forget the good things. There's good things going on in your life. Let's enjoy those things. There's good things in your family. There's good things in your church. There's good things in your marriage. There's good things with your children. Let's enjoy the good. Amen? So we want to please God. Now, we found out, and we're going to go back to this, but not right this moment, that it is impossible to please God, to please God, to please God, to please God, it's impossible to please God without faith. So if we're going to please God, we have to have faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. If you're going to have the God kind of faith, you've got to hear the word of God. So the more you hear the word of God, the more you have ammunition to please God. And let me tell you this, you can't please God without pleasing yourself. You really can't just please God without being pleased. Because as you please God, you're going to get the pleasures that you desire. God will give you the desire. Okay, I'll go there. Okay, let's go. Let's go to Psalms 37. See, this is the thing about it. This is not supposed to be an ugly life. This is supposed to be a fun life. And I'm determined to have fun. My wife prayed me back to victory. Boy, I tell you, I'm enjoying everything. I'm back to 150% of what I was before, and I just love it. I just love it. You know, I'm enjoying everything. So let's look at Psalms 37. Did I say that? Let's go to Psalms, I believe it's 37:4, okay? And I want you to see this because I want you to see this. It's important for you to please God because in the process of pleasing God, you're going to be pleased. You are happiest when God is. You are happiest when God's happy. You have more joy in your life when you're bringing joy to the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our what? Is our what? No sense in being weak, so let's have the joy of the Lord as we live this life, right? Now, I want to show you something that God put in my heart long time ago, many years ago, that I've taught many times, that I really believe that people need to get a hold of, and especially you today. This is important for you to understand that God wants you to enjoy yourself. But see, God wants to be part of your enjoyment. He doesn't want you to enjoy yourself apart from him. He wants to be part of your joy. God's a family man. He loves his kids. I said he loves his kids. Do you love your children? I love mine. I love my grandchildren. I love my children. I get to spend time with them, having fun, doing all kinds of things. Each one is different, but I get to have a wonderful, unique time with them. It's a blessing. Now watch this, because you should delight yourself. That's what it says in verse number 4, the first two words, delight yourself. Delight yourself. See, and we think this Christian life is supposed to be some sourpuss looking, sad sack acting, sorry, pickle sucking, you know, lemon eating, where you got all squished up face. I serve the Lord. Can you tell? Yeah, I can tell. I can tell you serving the Lord. That's all you're doing, serving the Lord. You ain't enjoying the Lord. You just serving. You like you in jail. I love the Lord with all my heart. I have to. That's a sorry Christian. Stop saying you're a Christian. We don't even need to know. Nobody needs to hear that. You look like you're in misery. Just go on and don't do that. Do what you really want to do. Don't give God a bad name because you really are not happy with God. See, I like being happy. I like being happy at home. I want to be happy with my family. I want to be happy when I fly airplanes. As soon as I put that throttle forward and pull that yoke back and get airborne, bring those gear up, I say goodbye. I am happy. I love it. There's nothing like that. Only 2% of Americans do that. Well, I can't. I'm like, you know, I push that throttle. You're cleared for takeoff. Thank you. I'm bumping along until I get to rotate speed, pull that yoke back. I get airborne. Bye-bye. God gave me that joy. I enjoy that. Flying helicopters. I love it. Love it. Looking at your house. See what your swimming pool looked like. You need a new roof. I love it. I love it. playing instruments. Now, God, I played music for 6 years in junior high, high school, and elementary school. Now I'm beating the devil out them drums, playing the bass, starting to play the guitar, play the keyboard every once in a while. I ain't that serious about those, but the drums, I'll beat the devil right out of them. Giving God glory. Most of the time I'm worshiping and just praising the Lord and just sometimes just crying and playing the drums. Just giving God glory. Everything I'm doing, my wife and I, we just buddies. We are lovers, buddies, friends, husband and wife. We enjoy each other all the time. If you see one, you're going to see the other. Salt and pepper shakers. We're always together. We never get sick of each other. Now, every once in a while, I have to take her somewhere and drop her off because she's going to buy makeup and I ain't going. I ain't going up in there. Now, I have done a few times. I'll like going up in the makeup place. Because sometimes, inevitably, I see somebody that's a male that's up in there trying to act like a woman, and I really can't take that. I ain't got them bones in me. But see, everything about my life, get together with my grandkids and my kids, and we plan. All right, chinga, let's go. Who can do it? And spot it. Don't let us play spot it. Some of y'all don't know what spot it is. Yeah, the seniors do. We train the seniors. You have to spot the little things, and you have to match them in your cards, and everybody's done. I mean, Monopoly. I'm the only one that wins anyhow, because if I don't win, I just mess up the board. You know what I mean? See, I'm just saying, the Lord says, delight yourself. But he says, also in the Lord. And I want to add that to it. Also in the Lord. Delight yourself. Also in the Lord. In other words, the Lord's like, can I go? Can I be with you? You going to Disneyland? Can I go? You're going to be riding bicycles? Can I go with you? It's like the Lord wants to be also in the Lord. Don't just do it by yourself. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Why? Because he shall give you the desires of your heart. The way God showed me this is that he will give you a desire. And then he'll give you that desire. You wonder why you like doing so-and-so, such and such? I ain't talking about no ungodly stuff. I'm talking about some things you got to drive. You got a bent. You got a vision for that. God gave you that desire. He gave you the desire. Then he will give you what you're desiring. And some of us think, well, I like doing so-and-so. I'm not talking about something that's not godly or that's evil. I'm talking about, and it doesn't have to be some churchy thing. He'll give you the desire, then he'll give you that desire. You heard me say that I believe that God gave me the desire for aviation. I believe he did. And then he gave me what I desired. Now I'm giving that to youth and helping them to have a reason for learning in school. They get fired up because, they want to be able to learn how to fly an airplane themselves, or maybe they want to be able to work on airplanes, or they see a reason for learning, how I can apply this to learning. I mean, I got stacks of books, just stacks of books. I got stacks and stacks. I got closets full of aviation books that I have to study. Same thing with the Word of God. He gave me desire to pastor. Then he gave me that desire. Oh, man, I love this. I love doing this. This is so fun. Helping people to change their whole lives. And sure, people get born again, but even if they don't get born again, they learn something. They change their lives, help people with their marriage, help people that may have wanted to commit suicide. He gives you the desire, and then he gives you the desire. I got to get that in you. See, because some of us have desires that were not given to us by God. You need to be willing enough to check it out and say, God, is that your desire that you gave me? Or am I lusting over a desire that the enemy gave me? Because if the enemy gave you the desire, God's not helping. You're by yourself, boss. He's not helping with that. But he will give you the desire. There are some things that God will give you. God will give some people a desire to go into business and then give them the business acumen to be able to handle being in business. We were with the ministry training school. I was with five youths and just doing some very good, strong mentoring with them. And one of them desires to be able to write music. I mean, he's just a young man that he believes God gives him songs. And see, God gave him that desire, but God will give that desire to him, meaning that it'll come to pass. And he says, God showed him he's writing music. Another one in the group that believes that God has him as to become the best quarterback there ever was in football. Now, God gave him that desire. We're sitting there praying, and God gave him that desire. And we're praying. I'm praying over these little young people, and there's another one. He's desiring to fly airplanes. Little guy I'm working with here. The Lord spoke to me this morning while he was in a singing group. He walked off out of the singing group. The Lord said, that's one of your co-pilots for this ministry. See, God will give you desire. And see, it's got to be God because it starts so young. I've found with working with young people, especially through Future Aviators and our other outreaches, that it's usually about 7 to 8 years old where you really develop what you're going to do. God can talk to you about that. Interesting, that's when Janice met Mrs. Shorter, 7.5 years old, and affected her whole life. And Janice had to be walked through in her life in several things. And Mrs. Shorter was there to help her. Things she'll never tell you about. But thank God that she was there. But God wants you to know it's his desire. It's not just your desire. So if God is giving you a desire, a bent, an ability, you need to tap into him. Not tap into them. Sure, you can get other people to help you, but if you go to God and say, God, like, of course, Solomon had to do when he had to build the temple, and David came and knew he needed money to help build the temple, you know, you got to be able to be willing to say, I don't know how to come in or go out. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this, God. Show me. God knows more about that than you do. And if he dropped that desire, first I'd ask him, is this from you? Be that risky. Don't be that selfish. Well, I don't want God to say, no, it's not from me. Well, if it's not from you, from him rather, if it's not from him, you're wasting your time. See, it's one thing, I like to say it this way. It's one thing to get healed. It's another thing to hold on to it. We get many people that get healed and then they get sick again. Why? Because they don't apply the word of God to be able to keep that healing. It's one thing to get married. It's another thing to stay married. Say amen or out. See, you have to make a decision that you're not going to just be a quick flash. You're going to be the long ranger. And this is why the next part of this verse is very important. Commit your way to the Lord. That's what it says next. Commit your way to the Lord. Whatever that thing is, because God wants you to enjoy your life. And every person is given something. Commit that way of whatever you got to do to the Lord. I feel like I'm at excellence in business right now. But you commit commit your way of doing that. How do we do this? And he will bring it to pass. Bring what to pass? Obviously, what he was saying in the fourth verse. The desires of your heart. He'll bring it to pass. You will be better at that than most people doing that. But we have to commit our ways to the Lord. Commit our ways to the Lord. Commit our ways to the Lord. You see, it's not just a little thing. I go to church on Sunday and then I try to stay by myself and figure out what to do. That's dumb. It's a waste of time. It's boring, too. You're sitting there trying to figure out when God already knows. He's like, excuse me, can I help you with that? well, this is not churchy stuff. I didn't say it's churchy stuff. It doesn't have to be churchy stuff for God to help you. He didn't say, I give you desires to be able to preach the word and to be able to read your Bible and to be able to, you know, pray in the spirit. And, you know, yeah, that's what I'll give you. No. He said he'll give you the desires of your heart. Jesus didn't come to give you life only spiritually, but life in every way. Full life. Well, the insurance business called it whole life. He came to give you whole life and it more abundantly, but not at that expense. He paid for it. You don't have to pay a premium. But commit your way to the Lord. Can you do that? Turn to somebody and say, commit your way. Come on, turn to somebody else and say, don't get hit now. And say, commit your way. Commit your, delight yourself also in the Lord. And he shall give you. I got to stay on this. Lord saying, just stay here. He shall give you the desires of your heart. Well, I don't have no desires. Well, you need to go get some. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, why don't you go pray? Because God does know what you're supposed to be doing. And a lot of stuff we do, God ain't telling us to do it anyhow. And so it ain't going to stand. It's not going to work. You're just going to be frustrated. I'm 70. I feel like I've lived long enough to know something. But it ain't based on my experience. I couple it with the word, and I know I know something. I've also pastored people for almost 40 years. I've watched lives, male, female, kids, grandparents, grandkids, everybody. Single, married, whores, sharp people, raggedy people, stupid people, whoremongers, everybody. I pastored them all. I've seen some stuff. And so, you know, the shortest way to one point to another is a straight line. So that's how I talk. That's the shortest point. Ain't no sense in talking all around the bush. Tell you straight what I seen. You're wasting your time. That's stupid. God wants to help you. Now, you can wait 20 more years from now and find out Pastor Shorter was right. But you wasted a whole lot of time when you didn't have that gray hair. Say amen. Amen. All right. Commit your ways to the Lord. Wait a minute now. I got to trust in him too. Trust also in the Lord. That's added to this. So this is adding up quite a bit. First, I got to delight myself also in the Lord, and he shall give me the desires of my heart. Praise God. Commit my ways to the Lord. I got to not just do my own thing. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. See, you got to make some changes. We all have to make changes. We can't just be some free-spirited, I'm going to do whatever I feel like doing, and you can't stop me. You'll stop. Don't worry. After a while, it'll be over. This life is not as long as you think. And you don't get another one. There's no redos. This is it. You are on the stage doing your dance right now. Pretty soon, they're going to close the curtain. Somebody else comes out, and they open the curtain again. And you'll be off the stage for the rest of eternity. You better dance well. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. That's what I, and see, when I was in broadcasting, of course, you know, most of you know that my stage name was J.J. Jackson, right? And J.J. Jackson, who died, he passed away when I quit radio and television. Anyhow, the J.J. Jackson that I was passed away. Anyhow, this guy was the kind of guy that would come to God and say, God, I got a good idea. I got something. Come on, God. Come on, God. I bring it before God. Come on, God. You got to bless this one. This is it. Bless it. Bless it. Now, God has something else for me, like pastoring the church. I'm saying, God, I got an idea. I'll tell you what. God, just bless this. Come on now, you got to bless it. You got to bless it, God. I came up with this. This is a good one. This is good. And God, it was in my spirit like this. God would say, like, bless. Sure. Sure. It's blessed. I would wrestle with that alligator for 10 years, trying to make that thing work. I'm wrestling with this alligator that I came up with. I'm fighting with Godzilla. And the Lord's saying, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. See, because I didn't start pastoring the church because I didn't have nothing to do. I was pretty busy trying to do my own thing, owning an advertising agency, radio station, all that kind of stuff. But I knew that wasn't what I was supposed to be doing, because I'm driving along the freeway to go and shoot another production. And I remember the one I was shooting for the State Patrol here in Washington with Steve Rabel from Cairo and from the Seahawks. And I was driving across 520, and it was one of these things that, one of these businesses I had. I said, bless it, Lord. And we're like, bless. Yeah. Okay, you're blessed. Try it. Because he really had something else for me. And I was running from the ministry. Like some of you are running from God. Let me say this to you. Wherever you're running to, he's already there. You can't run from God. God has picked you. Remember he said, I chose you. Many are called, few are chosen. You're marked. I tried my best to do all my own thing. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You know what it says in the book of James chapter 4? It says, go to those of you who say, tomorrow we'll buy and sell and do this and do that. Yet you do not know what will come of tomorrow. But you ought to say, paraphrasing, if the Lord will, we'll do this and that and the other. And people don't, they don't do that. They just run their mouths as if they're going to do all this. And you can't do nothing successful without God, especially if God's got his hand on you. You are wasting your time. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians that for the people of this world, they're coming to nothing. That's what they're coming to. And everything in this world eventually will come to nothing. Nothing. Only what you do for Christ will last. This whole thing is going to burn up just like that. He said, won't do it with water, but fire next time. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. You don't know what your future holds, so you might as well have God show you. It's the best way I've found to go. So let me finish this, because I didn't even know I was going to go to the scripture. But it says, delight yourself also in the Lord. Smile, everybody. Aren't you delighted? Some of you look like you know, somebody just stole your cat. Beat your puppy up. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. See, you got to be a happy camper with God. God don't want no bunch of complaining. What did he do with the children of Israel while they marched around and complained? They died in the wilderness. God wants happy people. So you might as well get like he wants. It shouldn't be hard. We should enjoy ourselves. Y'all look like a bunch of prisoners I met one time. Here we go. Commit your way to the Lord. Come on, smile, everybody. Smile. Put a smile on your face. Commit your ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall do what? He shall what? Okay, revelation here. You're not bringing it to pass. You're not supposed to bring that. Your success in that business is not tied up to you. You got to do your part, but God brings it to pass. My wife and I started this church with my wife and I and two children in our living room. And like Janice Heineman told you, we refuse to rob somebody else's church to start ours. We wasn't going around to other people's churches, sitting there and talking to other members of the other church and saying, we're starting a church. You want to come over? You already committed to that church. You want to come over? We're starting a church. You want to come to our church?
I'll make you an usher, I promise. Lord, help us today.
We did not do that. We said, if God's going to send people up to this church, he going to do it, and we're not. I'm not. And we knew a lot of churches because I was in advertising. I was at an advertising agency. I worked with a lot of churches helping them with their advertising, all denominations. And so I knew a lot of pastors and the churches and the congregations and hung with a lot of churches and pastors and helped them to be able to do their promotions and stuff like that. But I didn't go over to their church and sit down next to their members and say, guess what? We starting a church. You want to come with us? Why? Because it's God that's going to bring it to pass. If the Lord doesn't do it, I don't want it. Ain't no sense in fighting over something that God doesn't want. If the business ain't gonna fly, the business ain't gonna fly. We were in a building on Pacific Avenue, I'm about to close. On Pacific Avenue, we had worked and worked and worked. We put $300,000 in just one part of the remodel of that building, and that was just one part of the building. We had several parts of that building. We worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and had, I didn't know enough about real estate like I do now. That's why I went into investing in real estate. I said, you ain't gonna trick me like this again. Because I couldn't get nobody, no real estate agent really knew what I was talking about and would help me without a fee, and I didn't have a fee for them. And so they didn't care nothing about the church especially. So anyhow, so I learned how to invest in real estate, how to buy and sell real estate, flip real estate, and do commercial real estate, build buildings and everything else. So what's the sense in waiting for somebody else? And the Lord told me to do that. And so we're sitting in this building on Pacific Avenue, 60,000 square foot building, commercial building on the main avenue in the city. And, you know, I thought we had a secure agreement to be able to lease purchase that building. And another group, church folk, came out off from under, came under us and lied because the guy came to the church. He's dead now, but the pastor came to the church. This bishop here in Tacoma came to the church, and I said, now, listen, if you come over here to try to take this building from us, God's going to be against you. Oh, Pastor Shaw, I wouldn't do that. I knew him. Our choirs, when I was teenagers, used to sing at his church. We wouldn't do that, Pastor Shaw. We wouldn't do that. He was the main one that helped put together an agreement to buy that building out from under us. He lied. Most of their sons that are now pastoring their churches, many of them have called me over the years to apologize for what their fathers did. And they took that building out from under us. I called Dr. Price. And I said, Dr. Price, you're my pastor. This is the building. You've been to the building. We had you there. And this is what these jokers did. And he said, God has something better for you. I said, what? I thought this was better. He said, God has something better for you. See, sometimes you got to just suck it up and know maybe God allowed that and move on. I said, move on. Stop crying over spilled milk. When it's over, it's over. And maybe it wasn't God in the first place. And see, because God will bring it to pass. That's how I was with my life. I'll say this and I'm closing. That's how I was in my life. Because, see, I had come out from among my relatives, from my country, and from my father's house. That's where my sister was at when she came here. My father's house, literally. To do what God told me to do, which is you. He had this vision. So I came out. And God has something better for you. I'm like, come on now. What's better? And now look at what God has done. Look at what God has done. I'm going to say this, and I'm giving God glory. I'm not bragging about nothing because there ain't nothing I've done. God told me what to do. Do you know we are basically the only local television, local church on television on the Trinity Broadcasting Network here in the Northwest? There are no other local churches. There used to be three. There's none. But God gives us a voice Do you know that we're the only church, local church on this station that reaches all of the state of Washington? And do you know the bills are already paid for the next year? We already got the money. I'm not bragging to me, but see, if God is with you, God will take care of you. But if he's not with you, you don't want it anyhow. He shall bring it to pass. Watch this last verse, of the last part of this last verse, verse 5. And he shall bring it to pass. Stop trying to make things work. And that's how I was. I was going to say that's how I was when I went through that 6.5 years of hell. I said, God, if this is it, if I'm done, fine. I'm done. My wife would come to me and say, nope, you are going to be better off than you were before. You're going to preach stronger. You're going to be more bold. You're going to have more vigor about you. You watch, you're coming back. I said, well, God, if that's it, if that's you, then I'll do that too. But if this is it, see, you got to be willing to give it up. You got to be able to come out of Egypt in order to come into the promised land. You got to be willing to let go to hang on. See, you got your hands full. How am I going to give you something when you won't let go of what you got, which is less than what I'm giving you? And most of us settle for second best when God wants you to have the best. And if it's the best, he'll bring it to pass. And if he's not bringing it to pass, I don't want to have nothing to do with it. Well, I sort of preached. Did y'all get the word today? That is not in my notes. None of that is in my notes. But let's make a confession. Say, God, you said you would bring it to pass. So right now, I'm leaving it in your hands. My whole life, bring it to pass. If it's you, bring it. If it's you doing this, bring it. If it is not you, I'm leaving it. God, right now, I commit my ways to you in Jesus' name. Now, don't say this if you don't mean it. Say, God, just sit there and let everybody else say it. Don't you say it. Don't lie to God. Say, God, we're making a vow right now, okay? This is serious. Say, God, I make a commitment to commit my ways to you, to be able to honor you by having delight. Help me to delight myself in the Lord. God, today, I make a decision to trust you. And in these three things, I believe you're bringing it to pass for me. In Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, everybody. God heard that. Yes, he did.